This is precisely how I envisioned making this video, sitting on the floor of the bathroom, hiding so that my toddler can't hear me as I have the most amazing lighting and background and aesthetic to talk to you guys today about mental health and faith and how the fruits of the spirit really do play a pivotal part in my life. In case you don't know, hi, I'm Jamie Grace. This is the Jamie Grace Podcast, a show all about bridging the gap between pop culture and mental health. And this is a special series called Soul Soil, where we're going to be talking about how the fruits of the spirit can make a genuinely positive impact on your mental health, even mental illness care, and your own self-care as a human. So thank you for joining me for this special series. The next couple of episodes of the podcast are going to be just like this with video, but if you're listening on like Apple Podcasts or Overcast, then of course you're just listening and that's okay too. There will be great things to listen to, but if you're watching on Spotify or YouTube, you're also going to see the faces of some incredible women whose words empower me and inspire me and bless me regularly, whether it's through our friendship or through them being a family member of mine or me being a really big fan and they so graciously lended their time. All of these women have so graciously taken some time to share their words with you all. A couple of years ago, I did a study on Proverbs here on the podcast. And yes, I do talk about faith. I know a lot of the listeners and viewers of my content are also Christians like myself, and some people are discovering new things through this show, and I'm grateful to be able to introduce you to them. I've told you guys how my mom has helped me use some of the practical daily tips from like the Bible in my everyday walk with mental health. Some of you guys already know I have Tourette syndrome, my diagnosis at age 11, Tourette syndrome, OCD, ADHD, and generalized anxiety disorder. And so a lot of times when I'm going into making a big decision, whether it's specifically in the conversation of like, oh, my mental illness is affecting the way that I am able to make decisions right now, or if it's my humanness is causing me to feel overwhelmed, like, you know, what job should I take and what state should I live in and what college am I supposed to go to and, you know, how do you know this person is the one and all these things. I would go to Proverbs. My mom would say, go to Proverbs. There's 31 books there. Or chapters. Yeah, there's 31 Proverbs, and read one every day for 31 days. Just read it in the morning. Just think about it throughout the day. And by the end of that 31 days, you will likely have a piece about what next step you're supposed to take. And so another thing that I kind of do with that is the fruits of the spirit. Anytime I start to feel like, am I okay? You know, am I overwhelmed? Am I stressed out? Am I worried about something? Am I a good mom? Am I a good friend? Am I a good wife? For those of you guys that don't know a lot about my content, I'm a full-time musician, but I'm a wife and a mom and a sister and a friend, and I don't have my ring on. It's midnight and I'm hiding in the bathroom in pajamas, but I often have these worries and these thoughts, again, because I have mental health diagnosis, but also because I'm human, where I just start to wonder, like, am I good? Am I okay? Am I doing the right thing? And so I will go to the fruits of the spirit, and I kind of run it as a checklist, and I check on myself internally how I'm just taking care of me, because I believe that God gave me this life and this body and this mind to take care of. And then I check externally. I believe that I should be loving on the people in my life as well, and in the world as best I can. The fruits of the spirit can be found in the Bible in Galatians 5:22-23. The fruit of the spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, generosity, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. For years, I have looked to the fruit of the Spirit, the fruits of the Spirit, as the foundational principles for how I embark on self-care whether that means resting or reading my Bible or going for a walk or being on medication or talking to my therapist, spending time with family or friends, I often use the fruits of the Spirit as the foundational principles. That soil doesn't just exist and grow. You have to plant things there, and you have to plant the right things there so that it will grow properly. And then you have to put the right things around it, put it in the right surroundings, all this lighting and all this stuff, sunlight is what I'm referencing. And it takes on brand new life, and it also revitalizes and re-strengthens the life that it started with, just that little bitty seed. And that is self-care, that is soul care, that is soul soil. And so I'm excited about this new two-part series of the Jamie Grace podcast, learning how to care for ourselves and to care for our bodies and minds and souls through the lens of the fruits of the Spirit. Good morning, good night, and good welcome to Soul Soil here at the Jamie Grace podcast.
When your kids, your younger cousins, even if only by a few months, seem so young. So yes, my unique knows that I will forever call her my baby cousin, but she is not a baby. She is a great role model and example of what it means to show God's love. My Unique started and runs Instagram for Believers, and it's a social media account turned movement that inspires tens of thousands of young adults daily. I cannot think of a better person to kick off Soul Soil talking about God's love and how we can love ourselves and love others than my awesome cousin and the very inspiring My Unique.
Hey guys, My Unique here with Instagram for Believers. So I was tasked to talk about love and how it's impacted me, how it's changed me, how I still deal with wanting to love people. As I grow closer to the Lord, one of the things that I just like want to take so much pride and joy in is people knowing that I'm a follower of Jesus. And so for a while I would question this, like, Lord, how do I do it? It's got to be more than going to church. It's got to be more than hosting a Bible study. It's got to be more. And one day while I was studying, I found this passage of scripture, which actually is now one of my favorites. But in John 13:35, it says, "And they will know that you are my disciples by the way you love." And ever since I read that passage of scripture, I felt like my whole life was changed, because it's telling me that all I need to do is love people really well and people will know that I'm a follower of Jesus. And as I looked around this world, I said, well, duh, because if there's something that's really lacked in this world today, it's actually the way that we love people. And so I made it my mission that I would just love people like I would not get a chance to tomorrow. And if I just love people really well, then that's how people will know I'm a disciple. It's actually a scripture that I've based my now current young adult ministry on. Like, that is our heartbeat, is that we love people so well that that's how people know that we are followers of Jesus. And so over the course, I have found it to be challenging though, but I think God is so strategic. Like, when I read scriptures like this, or even the scripture where Jesus is telling us, like, the greatest commandment is to love the Lord your God with all your mind, heart, and soul. But then he also goes on to say, and the next is to love your neighbor. And so I'm such a processor. So when I really like thought of this, I said, man, like, God is so strategic. I think he 100%, I don't think, like, I know for like 100% sure that when these scriptures were being written, like, God knew the thing that we as humans would struggle with the most is actually loving each other. Because we're all so different. We are, like, some of us are a little more stubborn, a little more strong-headed. Some of us are a little more bashful. And I feel like God strategically placed this in plan because he wanted us to know that love is the most important factor that we can have as believers. I mean, even when we read the fruits of the Spirit in Galatians 5, it says one of those fruits is actually love. It's peace, it's joy, it's kindness. And so as I process through the way that I love people, I think that God knew it'd be especially hard. And in today's generation, it's actually great that we talk so much about mental health. Like, I love it. But I think that something that we actually don't talk about enough is, like, okay, as a believer, God is calling me to love someone, but how do I do that when they're making it really hard? And so even for me, having a platform, was actually a little bit challenging because people would leave me mean comments. They would send me mean DMs, and I would be like, Lord, like, let me love them. Let me not have this fast reaction that I normally have. And so instead I challenge myself to simply love and pray for people. And so it's actually changed the way that I now handle hate. Like, it was bad a couple of years ago, just like ridiculously bad. But over the last couple of years, as the Lord has challenged me to love better, he's allowed me to see the heart that I don't think people are hard to love. I think that people don't really understand how to love. And so even when we think about people's love languages and such, like, the way to love me is actually not to buy me gifts. Like, that's not a love language for me. But a way to love me is actually probably to spend time with me, depending on the person. Like, I'm a words of affirmation person with certain people, so like, that's a way to love me. And so it's like, I think it's not that we have a problem with love. I think it's we don't really know how to love people. And so that's just been something that has just like changed the way that even I handle situations that cause like triggering with my mental health, of like, whenever I do see someone that leaves a rude comment, or even people in real life. Like, I work for a church, so church people are not always the kindest. Even people that love the Lord, like, not always the kindest. And so for me, it has been a huge struggle just to walk in love, but I know that that's what God is calling me to do, so I want to do it. And so even in that, of just like having to humble myself and ask the Lord how to show me how to love people, has changed the way that I have viewed things mentally. And it's actually made me, I would like to say that it's made me better. But yeah, I just truly believe that like love is the solution to a lot of our problems. Even for me, like, I've had very challenging seasons over the last like 4 to 5 years. I've actually like heavily struggled with having depression and anxiety and working through that. But I've had people love me so well that it has just helped me grow out of that. Not to say grow out of it, because it's like one of those things, but like, I had someone in my life that loved me through my depression instead of just telling me like, oh, just pray it away. Like, it was someone that was there and that was present. Even today, like, my mentor is one of my like closest friends, but really close to her just because of the way that she loves me. And so I truly believe that whether we're dealing with our own mental health things or like watching other people deal with it, like, one of the best things we can do is figure out how to love this person in a way that they'll actually receive it. Because it's been something that I have gotten to do for people, but also have had done to me. And it has literally changed so much in my life. And I believe that we honor the Lord when we are walking in the fruits of the Spirit, when we are loving people so they know that we're disciples of Him. Like, I believe that that is truly just like a game changer that not a lot of people are taken advantage of, because there's so much involved with hate and just like making sure their point gets across. And I think the Lord sometimes is just like, man, like, can you guys just love each other? So yeah, it's been a journey, and I'm still learning. I'm still growing. I'm not saying like I'm 100% there. Still learning, still growing, but I know that God is doing something incredible. As the way that I love people and the way that people love me has changed and shaped a lot of my life.
Have you ever wondered what the most viewed Facebook Live video is of all time? My friend Candace set this record when she live streamed trying on a Chewbacca mask and went viral for the absolute joy that it brought her, and obviously all of us who watched. You may have since read her books, heard her podcast, heard her speak live, or even remember her from The Jamie Gray Show, and I promise you, the joy that she shows is not a show. It's internal, it's deeply rooted, and it's incredibly intentional. I know that you'll smile, but get ready, because you might also feel some feelings. This is Candace Payne sharing about joy.
Well, hey, it felt kind of necessary that I come to you from my car to talk about joy, because in all honesty, for me, the moment that I discovered that joy would be a major part of my story and my life was simply in a car, right here, talking to a video, except I had a toy mask, and I laughed my head off for about 4 minutes. And at the end of that video, little did I know the value of what I was saying, but I ended that viral video with this one statement. Whew, it's all about the simple joys, y'all. And honestly, today, nearly 6 years removed, I find myself still speaking and rallying around our simple joys. Listen, this morning, I took an extra 20 minutes to take my daughter to school and detour so I could get some frosted coffee. Let's not play about simple joys. They are delightful, but are they sustainable? Especially when it comes to your mental health. Listen, you can do all that you can dream up to embrace and live for these simple joys, but they're just these micro movements of happiness that have little to sustain you. As a matter of fact, as a person of faith, one of the big things that I know about my joy is this. It's a fruit of the Spirit. In Galatians 5, it says that it's coupled in this list of peace, joy, gentleness, self-control. I mean, it's in a longer list of things that just happen to produce out of living a life intrinsically rooted with the Holy Spirit. And for me, I know that, and yet at the same time, I still want to try to plant different seeds other than doing the work of like having the Holy Spirit involved in my life with my mental health, especially to make that joy a reality. So here's my question is, how on a daily basis do we embrace simple joys? Do we see the Holy Spirit moving at work, rooted deeply in our lives, so that we can really experience joy, specifically in this idea of mental health? All right, well, I haven't had very many people kind of unpack this for me. I could read book after book after book and kind of make summaries of my own. But here's what I'm finding. Here's what I'm learning right now. So if I can be a student with you, give me some grace here. What I'm discovering is it's all revolving around three things that intrinsically exist in how God created us. Your joy depends on your feelings, your thoughts, and your behaviors. Okay, stay with me here. Most of us like to suppress or deny or invalidate our feelings to even give them a chance to indicate or respond to how we really feel in the heart of hearts. Emotional health, I think God designed it so that we would be dependent on knowing, hey, these feelings, when they come up, they're a signal. They're signaling you that something's either negative or positive. But to be quite honest, I don't know if feelings are good or bad per se. I do think they're amoral. I think that they don't hold a moral standing. I think that they simply exist to be a notification, just like you would get on your phone. They pop up and they show you something's going on here. Take notice, take heart, think about it. And then that leads to our thoughts. So if I'm gonna have joy in my life, what I have to do is be honorable to the feelings that I'm having first. Negative, positive, whatever their reaction may be, I have to at least acknowledge that I have a feeling. So days that you feel crummy, acknowledge that. Don't suppress it. Don't deny it. Because a lot of times we think that joy is going to come with us maybe ignoring the bad things. But to be honest, that only lets you grin and bear stuff. And that's not real joy. That's not life with the Holy Spirit. That's not help from God. That's you trying to control a situation and a feeling that you have. So, when a feeling pops up, honor it, give it space, acknowledge it for what it is. But then 2 Corinthians 10, it tells us so clearly in there that we don't wage this war against our flesh, and we don't fight battles with the tools of what our flesh gives us. So you can't just fight everything that you're feeling with your other feelings. Feelings don't help you in the middle of a fight for joy. You can't just go, nope, I don't want to feel this, so therefore stop feeling that way. It says that we are to take every thought captive that raises itself against the knowledge of God. So when you have a feeling come up that challenges your joy, you're going to automatically have a thought about that feeling that follows it. As a matter of fact, it's so fluid that sometimes we don't even understand that we're thinking about our feelings, or our feelings dictate our thinking, because they just go so hand in hand. But the more that you're able to separate those two and understand that you've got indicators and responders by how you're feeling, you're going to be able to start thinking differently. Don't be afraid to think something new. When 2 Corinthians 10 tells us to take thoughts captive, that's exactly what we're doing. We're taking these thoughts that come from the way that we feel, that challenge our joy, and we're taking these thoughts to the righteous judge, and we're saying, okay, judge, tell me, how do I need to think about this thought? Is this thought valid? Does it need to be set free so that it can change me? Maybe you're trying to show me conviction. Maybe you're trying to show me things about me that need to be aligned more with your Holy Spirit. Maybe those things exist because they're not negative, but they're there to actually inspire and fuel and produce fruit for my joy. Or maybe the judge will condemn the thought. Maybe the thought says, no, that ain't you. And that's not how you should respond to this. That's not how you should think about this situation. You may feel this way, but no, baby girl. That ain't the thought you're supposed to have. So you need to take every thought captive. And then finally, your behaviors will follow those thoughts. If you're lacking joy, if your mental health, you're literally here going, I feel like there's chaos. I feel like there's no hope. I feel like there's a swarm of negativity inside of here. Then your actions follow what your thoughts are doing. So I would challenge you, go ahead and honor every single emotion that you have. Be aware of it. Don't suppress it. Then very vitally, you have to do the second step. Take every thought captive that follows that feeling. And then what you continue to renew your mind on will begin to shape who you become and who you are in your day-to-day actions and behaviors. What you believe, you do. What you love and trust, you put your finances in. You put your time in. You put your energy in. So if I'm going to say to you anything in this short 10 minutes of, Candace, what do you think about joy and mental health together, and how do I balance the two? It's God created you to have three things about intrinsically who you are: your feelings, your thoughts, and your behaviors. And all of them are designed to give you a life fuller of joy and of His presence. So I hope that helps you find the little bit of joy that maybe you were hoping for today, and maybe make you a little bit more aware. So have a good one, everybody. And until next time, I hope you have an incredibly joy-filled day.
Nona's greatest accomplishment is being one of my favorite people to follow on Instagram. I'm just kidding, but I really do love her posts. She shares about her personal health journey, and I've been personally inspired daily by how gentle she is when speaking about herself. As young adults, and especially for women like myself, this is not easy to be kind to ourselves, to be gentle with ourselves when we're talking about our health. We can be so hard on ourselves, and this can have a negative impact on so many aspects of our lives. I'm grateful that Nona not only leads by example, but in her everyday ventures too. She's a best-selling author, entrepreneur, and regularly champions leaders as they champion others. Nona is going to share all about gentleness.
Well, hey there, everyone. My name is Nona Jones. I'm a preacher. I am a business leader. I'm an author. And my husband and I have also had the great joy and privilege of pastoring a local church in Gainesville, Florida. I am so honored to be a part of Soul Soil. I'm really grateful to my friend Jamie for inviting me to just take a moment to speak into your lives, into your hearts, into your soul. I was asked to speak on the topic of gentleness. And when I thought about that word, you know, what immediately came to mind was the outward expression of compassion. I don't even know if that's the definition of it, but that's just what came to mind for me. Is gentleness is the outward expression of compassion. It's something we often extend to others. You know, we extend compassion to others, grace, empathy, understanding. But the other thought I had was that sometimes gentleness needs to be an inward expression to ourselves. What would it look like if we had empathy for ourselves? If we extended grace and understanding to ourselves? If we actually extended love to ourselves, what would that look like? Well, when I was thinking through this topic, the Lord took me to a somewhat familiar verse that I hope you may have heard at some point in your faith journey. It's in the book of Romans, chapter 12. I think we all have heard the first part of chapter 12, you know, about presenting your body as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. But if you read down at verse 18, there's a verse there that I think is really important for us to internalize. It says, "If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone." If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. It's impossible to live at peace with someone that you have hostility against. It's impossible to live at peace with someone that you feel owes you something. It's impossible to live at peace with someone who you are arguing with, warring with, unsympathetic toward. And I think that a lot of times the person that we have the least amount of peace with is ourselves. Because we know our hearts, we know our intentions, and when we make a mistake, which will inevitably happen because we're human, we often hold ourselves to such a high degree of accountability that even if we hurt someone else who forgives us, we struggle to forgive ourselves. And for me, this has been the most difficult part of being gentle with myself, because if I'm honest, when I mess up, it's hard for me to forgive myself because I know I hurt somebody else. I know I disappointed somebody else. Maybe I failed someone else's expectations. And so oftentimes I will beat myself up. Even if the person says, "Nona, it's okay. Hey, I know you didn't mean to do it." I will beat myself up. But I believe that today, the gentleness that we need is the type of gentleness that we would extend to a baby. And follow me for a moment. You know, a baby is vulnerable. A baby is fragile. And so we don't expect the baby to take care of itself. We don't get super upset and angry when the baby messes things up, because that's what babies do. But as that baby grows older, we begin to expect so much more of that child. And sometimes our expectations don't match their level of maturity. Like sometimes we expect five-year-olds to have the self-control and maturity of a teenager. We expect them to be quiet when other children are running around and having a good time. We expect them to not cry if they fall and hurt themselves. And those expectations can sometimes translate into adulthood, where we know that there are many men in particular who don't show emotion. Why? Because when they showed emotion as children, they were scolded. We know that there are women who have a very hard time trusting. Why? Because when they extended trust to somebody else, that trust was broken. Gentleness to me is extending compassion and grace to yourself. The same compassion and grace that you would extend to a friend, someone who made a mistake. You would say to them, "Listen, I understand that you didn't mean to do that." If they were to confide in you a situation where they felt like a failure, you would do your best to support and encourage them and make them realize that they're still valuable. And yet we don't seem to do that with ourselves, which is why many of us are being tormented on the inside. Because our minds are constantly rehearsing and rehashing and revisiting a past that we would much rather forget. But this is why gentleness matters, y'all. Listen, we've all done things that we regret. We've all done things that we wish we could do over. But while we can't change the past, we can learn from it. And so gentleness happens when we look over the mistakes that we've made and we say, you know what, if I had it to do all over again, I would do it different. But since I can't, I will live tomorrow in a different way. When the Bible tells us, as much as it depends on us to live at peace with everyone, what it's saying is, you can only control what you can control. Have compassion for yourself. We have to learn to forgive ourselves, because what forgiveness does is it frees our future from the bondage of past pain. And I believe that gentleness is all about recognizing your humanity. Chances are, whatever mistake you made, whatever you are ashamed of, knowing what you know now, you probably wouldn't make the same mistake. But that's why you have to give yourself grace. I think a huge part of mental wellness is embracing your frailty, embracing the fact that you're human. You're going to make mistakes. You're going to disappoint others and yourself. And when that happens, all you can do is seek forgiveness from God and forgiveness from the other person. And then you have to forgive yourself. Because the only way you can live at peace with others is if you first have peace within yourself.
When I heard Dominique, aka Doe, sing her new song, When I Pray, I knew that I needed to hear her talk about peace. Her lyrics and also her demeanor highlight a confidence that is only found when your soul is steadily anchored in hope. I felt the same way when I heard her sing with her family years ago, the song He Wants It All. You can now stream her new EP, including the song When I Pray, watch her latest music videos on YouTube, and right now, hear her beautiful perspective on peace.
There are many moments in my life that impact my mental health journey still today. I have learned as I've moved forward in life that life is a mental health journey, and the sooner I can lean into that and lean into healing in every season, that there's going to be a new layer of healing in every season, the easier that gets. I do remember a specific moment in 2013 where I was really met with some tough circumstances and just tough life situations, and I went through a small bout of depression, and I just remember the pain hurting physically. I felt like I wasn't where I was supposed to be in life, relationally, career-wise. I just didn't have anything that I wanted for my life, and that was really tough for me to process. And instead of leaning into people, I turned internal and took my thoughts all alone and didn't really process with anyone else. And I think that was the biggest mistake that I made, was trying to process it alone, trying to act like I was okay. I think probably growing up in the church kind of facilitated that environment for me to feel like I had to do that. And I don't think people did that to me. I think it's just something that kind of comes with the territory of you wanting to seem like you're okay to everyone else because you're in ministry all the time, you're on stage all the time. And but I remember the first day that I decided to go to therapy, and it was very hard for me. I still remember the first person to tell me that I need to get therapy, and I was very offended that they would say something like that to me. I thought, I'm not crazy. But after my very first session, I felt a layer of healing that I hadn't ever felt before, that I realized I wasn't going to be able to access all alone, that I was gonna need someone. I was gonna need a more beautiful form of community. I mean, I think that's what therapy is. Sometimes it's yet another side of community that we are sometimes afraid to explore. And for me, that was very healing, because I grew up thinking, all I need is me and the Holy Ghost in prayer, and I'm gonna be good. And for some people, that's all they have. But you know, in America,
and where I lived, I had access to therapy and counseling, and I'm so very grateful for those who have given their lives and their talents over to helping people's hearts and their souls and their minds become aligned, and helping people even access the abundant life that maybe they didn't know they had access to. Peace plays a huge role in my self-care routine because I'm realizing that peace is self-care. It's not something that happens to you. It's something that you have to do or access intentionally. I find myself even these days, all the time, casting down imaginations and taking captive every thought that presents itself against the knowledge of God and commanding it to be obedient to Christ. And that's a scripture out of Corinthians, but I have had to apply those scriptures and make them active in my life. And one way of doing that is using them when I notice that I'm subconsciously living in a fearful scenario that has caused me to consciously have triggers or consciously not be present in the moment. I know that was a, those two statements kind of went against each other, but I find that if I'm not actively fighting for peace, then I am inactively and passively giving myself over to a destructive mindset that is full of fear and worry. And so peace has played a huge role, but I've had to join my actions with peace and go after it and not just wait for it to plop into my lap. So I'm grateful for peace, but it doesn't just come. I have to go after it.
I don't want to give the impression that my kid has really cool clothes, but also she's two and has amazing style. And I owe thanks to my friend Nina, who is the founder of children's clothing line Mini Brook. Nina is creative, inspiring, and compassionate. She actively works to erase the stigma around mental health and to create a safe space for people to thrive and grow. As part one of Soul Soil comes to an end, I want to introduce you to my friend Nina Westbrook, a businesswoman, advocate, wife, and mom who has wisdom on generosity.
Hi, everyone. I'm so thrilled to be here talking to you today for the limited series podcast Soul Soil by my friend Jamie Grace. I'm Nina Westbrook. I'm a marriage and family therapist, a wife, a mom of three small children, an entrepreneur, the founder of Mini Brook, a children's clothing brand, and B'nai by Nina, a digital wellness platform / community. And I want to discuss with you my idea of generosity and hopefully share some information that will help you, that helped me along my journey to cultivating mental wellness in my own life. And so for me, the idea of generosity means time. So there, as a mom, and so many of you will be able to kind of resonate with this, as a wife, as a mother, as a partner, as a businesswoman or a career woman, or as a working mom or a newlywed, there are so many things that we have on our plates. There are so many different things that we have to tend to in our daily lives. And I think that wanting to do all of it and wanting to have it all has become such a trend. It hasn't become such a trend. I think it has been a trend for a long time now. And there's nothing wrong with it. It's just the idea of expectations and the time factor that plays a huge role in this concept of having it all. I think that we tend to give so much of ourselves to others, to our families, to our businesses, to our work, to our friends. And we forget to save some of that time and utilize some of that time on our own emotional and social and psychological wellness. And
which is why for me, generosity equates to time. Over the years, I've certainly learned how my time is valuable and that anything or anyone that I give my time to is a, it is me being generous. It is a generous thing to do to give time, because time is not something that we have in abundance, right? Time is limited and therefore it's so valuable. And so whenever I'm receiving time from other people, I feel grateful and gratitude, and I feel loved and I feel important. And so when I'm giving time, I have those same emotions, those same feelings. I'm giving my time where I want to, I'm placing my time, or I'm giving my time to those things, the things or the people that I love or that I prioritize or that I want to make sure they feel loved from me. And what I recognized very early on in my young journey as a wife, I would say, even before I had kids, I was giving so much of myself, but I wasn't really putting or giving that same amount of time that I needed for me to me, to maintain and to cultivate my own emotional wellness in my mental wellness journey. I think that it became such a habit, and it is, and it still is. It's something that I work at daily, to take time out and carve time out for me. Time is actually a huge part of my self-care routine. As for so many others I know will resonate with this, I think we have we have hobbies, we have things that we love, we have things that we wanna do, but it's always, you know, we're too busy, I'm too busy for this, too busy for that. I don't have time to think about me right now. I have to figure out how I'm gonna get this kid situated here, or I have to figure out what I'm gonna do to help my husband in this area, or have to fulfill all of my work responsibilities. And I think that we are so good at sacrificing ourselves and therefore sacrificing the time that we have to spend on ourselves, to spend replenishing our souls, and to just building ourselves back up so that we can continue to be all and give our all to everyone and everything else. We are the first ones that we will cut out of our priority list as far as where we're gonna spend our time. And I've learned throughout my own personal journey that I couldn't do it anymore. I could not continue to cut myself out of my self-care list or my time list, because it really wasn't benefiting anyone in the end. I was irritable. I was tired all of the time. I wasn't quite showing myself the love and that self-care factor was just not there for me. And so it took me some really tired days and being overwhelmed and a lot of the same in order for me to really, really, really change the way that I was not only thinking, but the behavior. When you're doing something for so long and when it's such a, like it's second nature to you, meaning you're not even thinking about the fact that you're doing it, you have to become really intentional about things, which is what I had to do. I had to be really intentional about showing and extending that same generosity of time to myself. And for me, that looked like, or it looks like, carving out quality time to spend with my friends and my family. My love language is quality time. So for me, if I'm spending time not working, just doing nothing with people that I love, that's when I'm at my best. That's when I'm at my happiest. The other way that I have learned to carve out time for myself is to work out and to do yoga specifically. I love yoga because I can get the mind-body connection and the mind-body wellness all in one setting. And so for me, for someone who's short on time, this is a good thing for me to practice. And I just wanted to kind of share some words of encouragement for anyone else who might be having a difficult time showing that same or extending that same generosity to yourself that you do to others. You have to always remember and understand it's going to catch up with you. There's only so much that we can do in a day. There's only so many places that we can be, but we can't do any of the things that we're doing at a high level and maintain it without taking care of ourselves first. Before we can pour into every other cup, we have to be able to fill our own cup. And also we have to practice what we preach, right? When it comes to the people that we love and the people in our lives, especially for me, I'm always encouraging and supporting people to take time for themselves and do what makes them happy and really like spend time to build up their emotional wellness. And so for me, that was a huge lesson that I had to learn, is like to practice what you preach. And so that was a huge turning point for me in my journey to cultivating wellness and extending that same generosity that I extend to others back onto myself. So I hope that you learned something or can take anything away from this, and understanding that you are worth it and you have to take care of yourself on your journey to cultivating wellness.
Thank you so much for listening to this special series of Soul Soil of the Jamie Grace podcast. This is a two-part episode, so make sure you subscribe on whatever platform you're watching and or listening so that you can get part two next week. I wanted to kick this off in the month of May for Mental Health Awareness Month. But of course, the second part of this drops in June, because here at the Jamie Grace podcast, we are always talking about mental health, always talking about pop culture, and always talking about how those two things are truly a part of our everyday lives. So make sure you subscribe if you want to hear more. And if you really like what you hear or see, then make sure you support the show on Patreon, leave a couple of 4, maybe even 5-star reviews on Spotify, and hit me up on social media at Jamie Grace H. I can't wait to talk to you guys. I can't wait to hang out in the comments on YouTube. And I will be around next week, so I hope that you are too. Okay, bye.